Hello, welcome to tea time. It's 11 o'clock. Well, it's 11:05. Get your cup of tea. There's every good chance there's horsehair in here. That's a Christmas present from my sister. Get your cup of tea, settle yourself down. If you've got any questions, if you've got any advice, if you've got anything that you want to chat about to the rest of the social club, please give... Oh, I need to put the link in the comments, don't I? Of course I do. Of course I do. I knew that. And there we are. Copy to clipboard. Right. Here comes the link, I hope. In the chat, if I can just get these pop-ups to go away. Okay. Link to join the chat. Control V. Boom. StreamYard. .com/4B3XXBIH3F. So there you go. Hello everybody, how are you? How is everybody? I'm still outside because it's a lovely day. It's a little bit cooler. I prefer being outside, obviously. Oh, you can't actually see. Oh, is it? No one's in it anyway. Can't actually see the arena, but no one's in it anyway. If it gets a bit blowy on the mic, that's why I've got the mic on. So hopefully we should be all right. Keep going in the comments. Let me know how the quality is. From where I am, the picture looks good. The sound looks good. So I'm going to assume it is until you tell me otherwise. Good morning, Yvonne. Good morning. Excuse me while I have a bit of tea. Got my Russia hat on, feeling very worldwide. I think Russia are having a hard time of the virus at the moment. The lockdown's quite severe. You can't go anywhere around town unless you've got a pass. No one's going anywhere, basically, but there you go. Rebecca, oh, Console Natalie. I'm assuming Console is your surname. Where's that from? Don't know. Could be Greek, for all I know. There we are. Emma's got the kettle on. Has everyone got the kettle on? Has everyone got their tea? Hope so. Got your tea? Quality's fine. Thank you, Sarah. Everything's good. And good morning to you. Oh, blimey, Tina's here already. Okay, well, let's crack on with the show. Tina, are you there? Earth to Tina. Are you there? Or is it just a view of a window sill?
Hello. Sorry.
Good morning to you. How are you?
Morning. Good, thank you.
How can I help?
You've caught me on a back foot. I didn't think I'd get through that quick.
Good. Do you want 5 minutes while I just carry on saying hello to everybody and get the cup of teas going?
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you, Carl.
Give you 5 minutes. You're gone. Look, like that. Boom. In, out. Thing is, it's just a get-together. There's nothing drastic about it at all. If you want to pop on, offer a bit of advice. Plenty of people have come through the Mounted Division Ultimate Rider Confidence course, my 3-month course. And towards the end, we all start sharing our stories, seeing how much we can help other people. And I'm sure they're not the only ones. So anything that you've got that can help people over the conversations that we've had over the past while, that'd be absolutely super. Leslie, do you want to come on and give it a bit of context? Morning. Morning to everybody. There's a lot of people here today. There we go. Yes, so obviously we all watched our Boris last night. Seems to be saying, as far as I'm concerned, that you can now travel to do your sport as long as your sport isn't within your social distance. And you can play sports with members of your family and you have to observe your social distance. Well, that's us. Basically, you drive here, you do your sport, social distance, because of horses kicking and biting potential, the social distance is well more than 6 feet anyway. So that's never been a problem. The only problem for us is the shared toilet facilities and the reception room. I don't know if you remember, but we started putting up, maybe you can see it there. The framework's still up there. Where is it? I'm hiding it there. Just behind is the framework of the open classroom. So we've actually always been open, but obviously our customers, observing the lockdown, haven't been free to leave their homes, get in their cars, drive to the petrol station, touch the petrol pumps, touch the pasties and the coffee machine, and then come here. However, the authorities that be now seem to think that it is okay to get in your car, go to the petrol station, touch what got touch. Maybe they think we're more educated. Maybe they think they've got to do something before people rebel. But either way, if it's okay to get in your car and go and do your sport, observing your social distancing, then that's us. So we are getting back on for normal work time. So there we are, except for this bank holiday, which I should be having off. And I'm not doing normal work time, obviously, because I'm working on a bank holiday. There we are. So all my focus is now on getting my business up and running again. I was looking back at the first social distance social club that I did, which was just a text message on a text post on Facebook some while ago now. And it said, put your mind forward 6 months. Well, we're over halfway there now. And now, provided that the numbers are correct, I believe Boris said, there will be a gradual stepping down of lockdown, but we mustn't go crazy and make it any worse. Otherwise, it will all go off again. If people decide that they're now going to all have a big party, they've put the fines up. So don't let that be you. Observing your social distance, the letting people travel to sport. So there we are. That's us. We fall into that category. So, yeah, all change at the ranch for Carl Greenwood. Okay, lovely. So, what have we got? Leslie says she's... How do you come on? Ah, yes. Leslie, let me show you. There is here... Control V. There we are. To join in the chat. I need to put this regularly because what happens is it goes up and then it disappears. To join in the chat, click the link. There we are. And we'll just put that in there. That should be right. I need to copy that so I can paste it with regularity. In fact, perhaps you'd be so kind as to copy that and paste it with regularity while I forget. Okay, let's see if Tina's got her tea together. Hello, is that better timing? Earth to Tina Bullcott, are you there? Tina. Are you there? I can see you. Everybody else can see you. Ooh. Are you there? Tina, are you there? I'm going to say hello to a few people while Tina wandered around the house, presumably looking for better signal. Lottie, hello. Ah, now, look at this. Lottie's got a suggestion here. So. Shona says, I have a phobia of cantering over the jumps rather than trotting, and even the tiniest cross poles terrify me. I've ridden my whole life and have the steadiest horse. Shona, one would presume, therefore, if you've ridden your whole life, that this hasn't always been the case and you've lost your confidence. Is that correct? Or have you spent all your life not managing to get beyond a trot over a pole, which some people do. And then Lottie quite nicely puts a little suggestion, maybe try cantering over poles on the ground and work your way up to raised poles, cavaletti, then small jumps. Yes, which is have you read my book, Lottie? That's exactly what I'd say. Lay the poles on the ground in a proper jump course, and then you know, as you go over the pole, turn your head, see the track for the next pole, and maybe right at the end you can pull on your brave pants and go over a little ankle high one. And even then, only after doing the ones on the ground for however long it takes, 3 weeks, a month, whatever it takes. Whatever you decide to do, you've got to bear in mind that your primitive brain, your fight and flight response, your panic attacks, they're all from a place which is only 7 years old. It's a seven-year-old processing power of whatever's going to frighten you. So if you're scared of jumping, you have to go right back to walking over a pole that's laid on the ground. That's what you do for a seven-year-old. If you're instructing a seven-year-old who's coming back with the same feedback as you're giving, that's what you'd say. We go, right, let's break it down. Stay at that level till we get bored. Give ourselves, if we think, okay, within 3 weeks, I want to be cantering over some ankle high jumps. Well, the first thing we'll do, if you can do it in 3 weeks, then give yourself 9 weeks, which will immediately put that pressure off. Don't take pressure from anybody else. It's going, are you cantering yet? Are you jumping yet? And all that. You know your plan. Stick to it. Get bored. Tiny, tiny bite size. Anybody who's been here knows the tiny bite sizes that we do. And exactly right from Lottie. Lay them on the ground. It's absolutely fine. And what I really like is that people are chatting to each other and ignoring me. That's, I really like that. Where's my cursor gone? Excuse me while I look off to there. Here we are, Shona. So has Lottie's advice and my additions to it made sense to you? And have you got my book? Because it's kind of in there. But not everybody realizes that I've got to put... Shall I do an advert? Let's do an advert. I have written a book with all the confidence strategies for pleasure riders, the reason why we've lost our confidence that I've discovered over 10 years of doing the rider confidence course. Shut up, I'm doing an advert. Of doing the rider confidence course. I wrote it all down in a book. It's only a little book. It's called Control Your Stress and Enjoy Your Horse. You can probably do it in 3 hours. You can get it on Amazon or you can get it from carlgreenwood.co.uk. And it's just a neat little book which will transform the way you look at nerves. There we are. That was my advert. Control Your Stress and Enjoy Your Horse by Carl Greenwood, DHP. Okay, Tina, we're going to give you a go. Let's see what's happening. Where's my cursor gone? There we are. Add Tina to the stream.
Okay.
What's happening, Tina?
Right. I've got a real problem with my confidence. I only started riding. I'm 42. So started riding when I was 30. When I was in a better financial position, had a lovely horse. He went lame, bought a show horse, which was probably far too much. And living in West Wales is mainly dairy, and it just could not abide cows whatsoever, so it just kept bolting, and it's freaked me out. And now I've got a new cob, which is really quiet. It's putting me off thinking, what if there's something around that corner? What if I meet a car? What if a pheasant comes out? And it's just ruining my riding. And I think, you know, how do you get around that? I have got your book. I just haven't had, with having a 5-year-old, I haven't had a chance to read it yet because you need to sit there and concentrate, but the nerves are taking over the enjoyment of riding, and I just to the volume. Is it still, are you still there?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, we're still here. I don't know if you can hear me. Your signal isn't that good, your Welsh signal, but we've got the gist of it. The funny bit is that you bought a book which has all the answers in it, and you haven't read it yet, so there's a big clue. it's very common. In fact, it's so common, I'm pleased to tell you that I had exactly, and I mean exactly, the same reaction of a horse with cows. I started riding when I was 36, so I wasn't the best rider. I bought this horse, which was too much, which is perfectly a common story. Solly, her name was, and it was just terrified of cows, just terrified. And we did all the things that I thought we should do. We put it in a field next to some young cow, one young cow even, and she nearly crippled everybody and herself jumping through the barbed wire. We took it in hand alongside somewhere where we knew there was cows, and it nearly killed everybody on the road. And it had a proper psychological problem with cows, and eventually I sold it. Being a novice myself, I could see that this was going wrong. I could see I was not having any enjoyment at all. Then we got another Welsh cob, which was a fiery kind of thing. Sputnik. I may have mentioned Sputnik before. And true to form, Sputnik also bolted at one point or another. I'm still a novice. I'd come from the riding school, not knowing much about horses, and was on that steep learning that you have. So I went flying down that steep learning curve. I got a phobia about bolting, and there we are. So above all, you're not alone. You're not alone. So obviously where can I start? It's ruining your riding. This horse is a good horse and is not going to bolt. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's a 5-year-old cob. He's really quiet. I mean, he is quite green, but I employ two grooms here that tick him over all the time. He is really sensible, but it's the fear. I think I send the fear down thinking, oh, should we go down this road? Oh, what is this? It's the unknown all the time. And it's go down the road and think, if something comes out, I should just be able to just deal with it there and then and not let it ruin the whole of your ride. And I get on and think, you know, oh, what if it bolts? And then put, like, you know, four neck straps on and then a martingale, then something else. But the whole thing is a bit ridiculous. I'm thinking, you know, sometimes I think I wish the horse would bolt so I know I can sort of find out what it's like for this one to bolt and then be able to stop it. But then that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Okay.
You spend your whole life worrying about bolting. You almost want them to do it so that you've got it out the way, you know?
I do. Well, first thing I'm going to do is wander over to this little sticky note, which I have prepared already. And I'm going to put into the comments my link for my free PDF. Now I've got that there. It's there somewhere. There we are. Free bolting, bucking and rearing special PDF report, which tells the story of me on Sputnik, I believe. It certainly tells the story of Ash on Oscar, and that's always good for a laugh. So I'm going to copy that, post that in there. Okay, lovely. If you click onto that, I hope. Is that, yeah, that's the whole... I don't like the look. Yeah, no, that looks right. I think that'll work. If you click onto that, you'll get taken to a page where, as a cunning marketing ploy, you have to give me your email address. But in return, I will give you a whole load of automated emails, but more importantly, a bolting, bucking, and rearing special PDF report, which basically goes through all of bolting. However, I bear in mind that you've got a tendency to collect things and not read them. So what it actually says is we need to practice. We need to practice dealing with a spook. We need to get that. When there's a spook, when the horse's nose goes in the air, when it takes a sharp intake of breath, when its ears flip one way or another, we go into absolute meltdown and vastly overestimate what the horse is going to do, ruin our ride. Maybe, as you say, maybe it's even further than that. The horse doesn't even have to do anything. It's just that there's a corner approaching. And I promise you, if we took ourselves to one straight ride with no corners at all, we'd find something else to decide was going to happen. Well, what if there's an underground gas explosion? Never thought of that, did you? You're out in a desert. Absolutely nothing. What if a meteor hits? Yeah, so there'll always be something to play on our minds. So basically, we need to train ourselves and desensitize ourselves to a spook. So that what we're going to do is we're going to train the horse so that when the spook comes along, when the crisp packet of death comes out of the hedge, if we know that the horse is going to go, what do I do? And ask us on its back, then we're most of the way there. You want the horse to ask us. We don't want the horse to think, there's a crisp packet of death. This human's not going to help me. I'd better look after us both and run off. It sounds like you've got the kind of horse that isn't going to come to that conclusion anyway. So you're doubly, doubly blessed. But nonetheless, if we know that we've trained the horse to ask us when there's a spook, plus we do a bit of training ourselves in little bite sizes. I'm always going on about bite sizes. Yeah. Train ourselves to a spook. That doesn't mean get your mate to jump out of a hedge behind you with a shotgun and let it off, or fireworks. That'd be a bit too big of a size. What we need to do is get in a safe area, like one of them there, a nice arena, and we need to start training ourselves to spooks so we can arrange a spook. A great one that I use all the time is a garden sprinkler. Now, loads of people say they go out on their horses and someone will be washing their car, or the shopkeeper will be washing the windows, or. So a garden sprinkler is a nice one. It's not actually going to hurt us. It's fully under our control. You can get your mate to turn it on and turn it off at the tap. And this is what I call a desensitizing session for you and your horse. So when the garden sprinkler of death attacks, your horse, in a series of bite-sized steps, will learn, if you do what the human says, you will survive. Whereas previously, it's got the pattern that if you run off, you will survive. But that's not even your horse. That's someone else. That was a different horse. But if your horse was a flighty kind of thing, if you run off, you will survive. And we're going to replace that to, if you listen to the human, you will survive. And the only way to explain to a horse over and over again that if you listen to the human, you will survive, is to produce a series of spooks and listen to the human and survive. So, for example, and I do this quite regularly, we've got a garden sprinkler. What I want to end up doing in 6 months' time is having the garden sprinkler going in the arena on my circle, and I'm going to just put on my wet weather gear and ride the horse straight through it without an ounce of hesitation. Now, if you do that, people are unreasonably impressed that you've got a good horse, because they believe instantly that their horse wouldn't do it. But of course it would if you train it to it. So to begin with, I might have the garden sprinkler of death, not in the arena, but over there somewhere, about 50 meters away, just going, and maybe have somebody walk around with it. And while they're walking around with it,
what's that?
I need to tell the horse to do what the human says. So what does the human say? Well, let's say that we're doing a circle. Let's say we're doing a circle or a figure eight, and it's the most perfect circle. Absolutely perfect. The correct amount of bend, the correct amount of weight on the hind quarters, the correct amount of contact on the bit. It's absolutely perfect circle. Then I ask my friend to turn on the garden sprinkler. What does a horse do when the garden sprinkler turns on? Well, the answer is what it's told. What does a horse do when anything happens? The answer is what it's told. That has two parts in it. Firstly, what it's told means that we should have the expectation that the horse will continue to listen to us even when it's surprised. So people so often let horses misbehave and then say, oh, well, it wasn't his fault. You know, so you're going along doing your circle and someone turns on the sprinkler and it stops and looks out of the arena, and people are forgiving to their horses, you know, and I can understand that. It's not, well, he didn't expect that, did he? But nonetheless, the horse would much prefer for you to save the day rather than it to have to assess whether that garden sprinkler is actually a polar bear. And the way that you save the day is to, what does the horse do when the garden sprinkler attacks? What it's told puts the onus on you and the responsibility on you to tell it something. And that's where things tend to go wrong. When the horse rears, or the horse calls to other horses, shows some behavior, people A, give the excuse, oh, it's not the horse's fault, and B, then don't tell it anything. They don't tell it what to do. If anything, they'll stop what they were doing and then try and calm the horse, understandably. So then they're patting it. So the horse has stopped and chucked its head over the fence of the arena to look at what's going on. And the rider's given absolutely no instruction and given it a little pat and said, well done. So action beats anxiety. What I would do would be to arrange that spook to go off. And I would, with all the intent in the world, continue my perfect figure eight. Now, the difference in this situation is that I know that the garden sprinkler is going to go off. I know it. So I could already be driving forwards in the most perfect figure eight or the most perfect circle with all the intent, with a laser focus on what I am doing, so that when the garden sprinkler goes off, what does the horse do? What it's told. I have a responsibility to tell it something, and I'm telling it to do this beautiful figure eight or this beautiful circle. Now, when the garden sprinkler's 50 meters away, it's not that hard. Everybody watching this is going, the man doesn't know what he's talking about. Of course, the horse isn't going to be bothered 50 meters away, which is true. And then it gets closer and closer and closer through the weeks. Plus, you add in other spooks, not just the garden sprinkler. It's also carrying a flag, a little flag at first, going over a tarp, pinning a feed bag to the fence, getting somebody to kick a football around, getting somebody to play some music on their phone, or make a video, or do a little dance, or anything. And we do anything. Umbrella is always a good one. Get someone to stand and open and shut an umbrella. And all the time doing this absolutely perfect figure eight circle. If you do that day after day, session after session, endlessly, then your horse will start to learn that when the ABC of death attacks, if you listen to the human, you will be okay. In addition, coming back to you, you start to learn that when the ABC of death attacks, listen to the human. You are in charge. You can listen to the human as well, and you will be okay. When your horse starts to get this relationship, and this never stops, by the way. I still do desensitizing sessions on the 18-year-old because it's fun. If there's an opportunity to go up some steps or through a door or in a corridor or on a boat or we go and do it for the fun, but also for the value, so that when I go onto a film set and they say, can you go across these train tracks, it's like, yeah, the horse isn't going to be fussed, because we just do that endlessly. Every time I win, I learn that the best thing to that I'm in charge, and the horse learns that I'm in charge. So when you increase that a bit, and maybe next time you're going to go out on the road and arrange for a bicycle to come past, or three bicycles to come past, when those bicycles come past, you're just absolutely doing with a laser focus what you intended to do, which is a trot from this gate to that tree, absolutely perfect position, perfect amount of weight on the hindquarters, perfect amount of contact, absolutely consistent trot that would win you an award as those bicycles come past that you've arranged. Or have you arranged them? Maybe they came past randomly. Your horse doesn't know. So in a way, it doesn't matter. And did you arrange for that car that went past fast, beeping its horn? Don't know. But the horse knows that whatever happens, listen to the human, and that will keep you safe. So you're talking sometimes, I'm two seasons. If with a flighty horse, I'd be two seasons before I take it out hacking and start trying to fight it out of a bolt. We've already established here that if anything frightens you, best thing to do is to listen to the human. And then, of course, we start getting our hacks in bite sizes as well. So our initial hacks will be with another horse. We do all our circles and figure eights in there. We go out of that gate. There's a little track goes through those woods, probably about 200 yards, 300 yards, something like that. And you end up back here into the arena. Do your circle, do your figure eight. Out you go, round the track, back into the arena. Do your circle, do your figure eight. And that's good enough for day one of hacking out. And that's after months and months of working in there. The bite sizes are incremental, bearing in mind that you're dealing with your primitive mind that is always more frightened, like a seven-year-old, than frightened like yourself as an adult. You know you can deal with things, but you don't feel that you can deal with things. And that's the essence of it. Make things into bite sizes. Have the courage to break it down, especially if there's other people on the yard watching. You have to have that courage. If you have to lay jumps on the floor, lay jumps on the floor. If you have to turn on a garden sprinkler 50 meters away, turn on a garden sprinkler 50 meters away. There we are. Let's have a little look. I need to put my... I've lost you. You had a bad signal and random children. But if that made sense to you, she's gone. Tina, if that made sense to you, maybe you'll get to see this on the replay and just bob in a comment. And of course, it's all in the book. The downloads there for bolting, bucking and rearing. I'll just put that in again. There we are. It's free. There we go. And I need to put up the StreamYard link. So to ask a question, or offer advice, there we go. Beautiful. Anybody's got another question or to offer advice? It's a social distance social club. It's not just me chatting away, but obviously I'm on the decks. I'm on the ones and twos. But there we go. Let's see how we go. I'm just going to read some comments now. Lovely. There we are. Okay, so Yvonne says, this works on the ground too. Oh, look, I can show that. I don't have to read it out. You can read it. This is really good. If you're doing this for your business, whatever you do, then StreamYard is the thing that I'm using. It connects through to your Facebook and your YouTube. Hi, Eddie. How are you? So, this is here's Claire. I managed to use you and your book to back up learning reflection on fire. Quoting that there's no such thing as failure, but another learning opportunity. Too many people say they're failing at horses. Gets a bit upsetting after a while. You don't fail, you only learn. And basically, there's two emotions go with horses: patience and a sense of humour. And that's what we've got. If your horse won't do what you want, I know it can be frustrating, but your bite size there might be to go out and try and get your horse to do its circle. Oh, look, there's Hannah doing Rango. See, that horse is looking out. It's doing a circle, looking out the wrong way. So if you get frustrated at your horses, you may want to break those bite sizes down even more, where you might decide that this week you're going to go and you're going to do your best, but the aim of the bite size is to not be frustrated. Hey, hang on a minute, that's a very clever idea. The aim, I'm going to go and do my horse, but the aim is to work on me. So now, how can you not succeed? It's nothing to do with the horse. I'm going to go out and do the horse, and even if it's terrible, even if it's the most appalling circle I've ever done in my life, I'm going to have a sense of humor and plenty of patience, and I'm not going to get that awful frustration. That's my goal this week. Now, that really has made it into a tiny little bite size. So let's say you've got a horse like Rango. Look, he's going round. He don't know nothing. he's been with us far too long. he's been with us about 6 months. Don't know what. Don't blame me. And he's going around. He's looking out the wrong way. There we are. However, you can go out. Suppose somebody comes out and they go, oh, I've seen you getting frustrated with that horse. Try this strap. Try this new strap. This is the new Uber strap. This is a super special strap. It's going to be a great strap that will go straight on that horse, and it will just mean that it's on the bit nicely and it will lunge around quite nicely. Perfect circle. All your problems will be over. So I buy my Uber strap, and in it comes, and it's like, right, okay, I've got this Uber strap. I'm going to test it. So I put this Uber strap on a horse, and let's say there's 8 holes. I'll put it in the middle one, put it on hole 4, and the horse goes round and it's as bad as ever. It's like, oh, okay. So then I get my Uber strap and I put it on hole 6, a little bit tighter. Oh, put the Uber strap on. Oh, horse is worse. Aha, now we're learning. If it was bad on 4, worse on 6, on 2, watch this. I'll put the Uber strap on 2, I'll start a circle, and it's worse. Hang on. I haven't succeeded, but I have learned. I've learned that the Uber strap is shit. I've learned that it doesn't suit this horse. I've learned something. But remember, at the start of this little anecdote, that wasn't my goal. My goal was to go out, which I did, try the Uber strap, which I did, and most of all, not get angry, anxious, stressed, depressed, fed up, frustrated, but just have sense of humor and patience. How can I fail? So that story sounds like a failure. Everybody on the yard who's leaning on the fence has just seen me go out and do the worst circles ever. But I still achieved my goal, which was to take control of my emotions, to be the horse person that I want to be. So I come in after doing the worst circles that I've done for 6 months, and I'm going, yes! And they're all going, I don't know what he's so happy about, but I do. That's how much you can break down your bite sizes. There we go. There we go. Okay, if you'd like to join the conversation, then somewhere here is the chat link. Oh, there's my computer going wild. Let's put the chat link here. Lovely. So, I like this. That was my goal and it worked. Oh, look, I could just show you these. Look, here's Alison. There we are. Would you like to join and I was putting the link on and give us a bit of, context to that, a little bit of context. If you'd like to join in, let me just write that. If you would like to join the social club today, click the link to ask a question or offer advice. Got advice wrong. There we go. It's dead easy. Everybody who's tried to join says that it's the easiest thing in the world. You click on the link. The link comes through to my page here. A little picture comes up. Let me know that you're waiting. And I'll click that in. And we'll have a chat. It's all very casual. Oh, hello. Message come in. Oh, there's Tina's question. So, Tina, if you watch the replay, hopefully you'll have better signal. If I haven't answered your question, or it doesn't make sense, or the solution wasn't clear, feel free to pop on tomorrow. I don't know how long the social distance social club will last now, or what form they'll take, because it looks like we'll be taking students again coming to do their sport. So obviously we will be working, but I'll try to maintain something because I've quite enjoyed it, really. It's been quite good fun. Okay, lovely. Maz Fowler offering lots of advice there. That's jolly good. You need to come on the show, Maz. Hey, I like this. I'm just reading the comments here. There's plenty. There you are. You can just have a read of that one. That's quite good. Someone's got a naughty Connemara here. Can take 2 hours to load. Every day it takes 2 hours. I said that on purpose because I know that you're not loading it every day, because if you were, it wouldn't take 2 hours. The trick with loading is not to wait till it's time to go, and that's when you find that it doesn't want to load. I do know this because the Frisian wouldn't load for ages, and we just spent a month giving it breakfast up in the lorry, and there we are. It took us a very long time for the first few days, and then it became normal on and off and on and off and on and off, and now it's just no problem at all. I did do a video about loading. Build yourself up for success. Try and back it into an alley so there's more chance of it going on. Try and make it attractive in there. Try and get a load of light in there. Maybe take a mate up first so that it can see the other horse loading up. Yeah, somewhere on my YouTube is a video how to load a horse. It's very old school. It's like don't let it have other options. Go to the trouble to move the lorry, and if you have to build a little ramp. Yeah, quite old school and basic. Got a bit of a telling off from a few people. But there we are. Do you want the horse on or not? Charlotte says, if I keep falling asleep during the hypnosis, will it still work? I've only stayed once and only because I was struggling to relax. Yes, it will still work. You've been hypnotized plenty of times round the yards that you've been on for the last 30 years with people just casually saying that horses, something negative about horses, and you weren't even trying. So don't worry, your subconscious hears everything that it needs to hear. If you would prefer to just hear it all with your conscious mind as well, nothing says you have to lie in a darkened room. You can always listen to it while you're sitting watching a sunset, or taking the dog for a walk, or poo picking, or any. Hypnosis is guided daydreaming. You know the way that we daydream, and sometimes we daydream about the what ifs and things that negative that could happen, and sometimes we daydream about the positive things that could happen. So all hypnosis is guided daydreaming. So any situation when you daydream, with the exception of driving and using machinery, of course, any time when you're daydreaming, having your lunch or anything, you don't have to be in a darkened room. You just need to be in that daydreaming state. Yeah, but if you do want to be in a darkened room and fall asleep, that's jolly fine. Your subconscious will hear it all anyway. Oh, hello, I'm just going to pop this on. This is great, this. I could just pop up the comments. Nice comment. There you go. This is a great tool, this StreamYard. There we go. It looks like we're done for today. If you'd like to join us again tomorrow for the Social Distance Social Club at 11 o'clock on Wednesday, I've got to take Popper Guy back to the vet, so that won't be happening at 11 o'clock. Maybe we could do it in the afternoon. And until then, I think that's it. I don't think anyone else is coming on to ask a question, which is a shame because I quite enjoy that. So I'm going to leave it for today. It's been a good session. There's been loads of information in there from the people in the comments as well, which is absolutely super and exactly where I want this to go. See you tomorrow. Thank you for listening.